Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Anne McElvoy, host of The Economist Asks, our weekly chat show. We've changed our subject at the last minute this week to reflect on the dreadful shootings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, carried out allegedly by a 19-year-old former pupil at the school. It comes just 20 months after mass shootings at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando in the same state. At Parkland, Nicholas Cruz has been charged with 17 counts of murder. Many others are seriously injured and several critically ill. In a new development, we've heard that the FBI has confirmed it had been warned about threats from the teenager to carry out a violent attack. President Donald Trump is due to arrive in Parkland to meet families of the bereaved. I've asked Robert Guest, our foreign editor, to join me in the studio. Robert, you have covered terrible events like this in your time, I think when you were running our US Bureau, including the Virginia Tech killings. How similar or otherwise is the profile of what's happened in Florida?
It's extremely similar. You have the alleged shooter appears to be a somewhat disturbed young man who had very easy access to military-grade weapons.
And when you say easy access to weapons, I mean the argument, which I'm sure will come to life very quickly after the shooting, is it the availability of the weapons? Is it the licensing? How come a 19-year-old can lay hands on weapons that can cause such dreadful carnage?
I mean, let's step back. I mean, there are people who say that the problem here is a rise in mental health problems, that there are those who say it's something to do with poor policing or the failure of schools to provide mental health help to young people, or possibly, you know, the difficulties of coping with the modern world and the pressures of education. But the thing is that those problems exist in all other rich countries, but there's only one rich country that has mass school shootings regularly, and that's America. And so I suspect it's something to do with the fact that there are more guns than there are people in America.
You were covering similar events to this in the early 2000s, and I think there was a shock factor then, wasn't there? And we saw Columbine High and other shootings, that this was happening in schools. Why do we think that the profile, if you like, of shooters has shifted towards younger people, particularly towards these clearly angry, disturbed, desperate young men who are prepared to take so many lives?
I don't think the profile has shifted particularly. There are an awful lot of people who get killed in gun incidents in America each year. The vast majority of them will be young men shooting other young men, many of them involved in crime to begin with. What's different about school shootings is that, firstly, there are typically children involved, so that the shock value is much greater.
You mean we just notice them more?
If someone walks into a school and kills 17 people, that is unbelievably shocking, and it's going to make the news. And it is possible that some of the shooters are motivated partly by a desire to be famous, because if you do something this appalling, people will find out your name, although usually posthumously, because usually the shooter himself is killed during the course of these things.
Though not as it happens in this particular
instance,
but that is the alleged shooter, we should say. But he does appear to have issued boasts or threats before in videos.
Yes, and he has had disciplinary problems at the school and mental health problems. And you can't possibly sort of preemptively lock up all the people who have mental health problems. But what you can do is not sell them AR-15 rifles, which he legally owned, and it was kept apparently in a locked gun cabinet in his house, but he had a key.
Well, that brings us to the sort of policy implications, which we've written about a lot over the years. legal gun ownership and how to balance that against the risk. As you say, often the gun is held legally, so in a sense one hurdle has been cleared. Background checks is obviously the subject that perhaps attracts most attention. What do you think about the balance of arguments, and is that changing?
Okay, well, your starting point in America is that the Constitution very clearly says that you have an individual right to bear arms. So it's very difficult for lawmakers to come up with effective gun control laws that will pass constitutional muster. That said, it seems not at all unreasonable that you might have background checks, that you might make it very difficult for people with mental health problems or criminal records to buy guns, and that you could really limit the ability of people to get hold of guns that can fire rapidly. If you're using a gun to go hunting with, you really don't need a huge magazine that will fire rapidly.
And what about the Florida element here? This comes so soon after the killings at the Pulse nightclub that caught the world's attention just a year and a half ago. Did you see, and do you still see, a correlation between gun ownership in certain states and these mass shootings, or are there sometimes other factors where you might have a lower gun ownership but still find that it's just chance that they sort of bunch in certain places?
I think it's pretty difficult to break it down on a state level. Florida's a big state. It's got a lot of people. You would expect it to have more shootings than somewhere like Wyoming that's got fewer people. Regardless of which state you're in, and even if you're in a city where the gun laws are quite strict, it's very easy to go somewhere where you can get hold of a gun. You don't have to drive very far from, say, Chicago, where you're not allowed to buy guns very easily, to somewhere where you can. So it's, if you really want to get hold of one, you can. And we're at the stage now where if you wanted to tighten things up, it's very hard to do so because there are already more guns than there are people out there in America, and they don't rust. They don't run out. You can't make them disappear.
Donald Trump is going to turn up, I think, at the weekend, or probably even a little sooner in Parkland. What should he say?
Well, I can tell you what he probably will say is that he's very sorry about this, and that he wished it hadn't happened, and that his prayers and feelings go out to the families of the deceased. What he won't say is that he's going to do anything about guns, because he, you know, although he used to be in favor of gun control back when he was a Democrat, now he is, you know, part of the party that is very much anti-gun control, and so he's very unlikely to buck the party on that. I could be pleasantly surprised.
Our line has been much greater gun control. We were very realistic about it, as you point out, the number of weapons legally held, and that cannot be undone overnight, but that the stricture should be much greater on background checks and the criteria should be much tougher on owning a gun. Gun ownership in some places is going down. If there's any light in the darkness, what would it be? What do you see changing in this argument?
Well, in some areas, gun ownership is going down. We're not totally certain about this, though, because there's also people who are refusing to answer questions about it, who are more like, if you're doing a poll, and those people are probably more likely to be gun owners, including the ones who are worried that if someone phoning them up knows whether they've got a gun or not, that it could be the government planning to make a registry and then come and, you know, confiscate their guns later. So there are a lot of people refusing to be counted. The actual number of guns that individual gun owners own has been going up because, you know, sometimes people will stockpile because they're afraid that a politician might come and take them away. And, you know, even if you don't manage to get to actual gun control, at the very least, one would hope that you don't slip in the other direction. So there are people arguing that the solution to this is that the teachers should be armed. Well, I really don't think that having an armed teacher in a classroom where there may be disciplinary problems is a particularly good idea.
Thank you very much for joining us a short notice there, Robert Guest. And do get in touch with us with your thoughts on the aftermath of this terrible event, on how to prevent more deadly school shootings, and do America's politicians need to change their tack on how they tackle gun crime or how they don't? You can reach us via radio@economist.com or on Twitter @EconomistRadio. Thank you for listening. In London, this is The Economist.
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.